The following program is for entertainment purposes only. The hosts of this show have no training as coaches or dietitians. Their attempts at long course triathlon and ultra running should not be taken as endorsement for you to do something stupid too. You should make your own bad decisions, then podcast about it. Now let's start the show.
Well, this is Jeff Galloway, and you have friends at Back of the Pack.
After the race has already been won.
After all the podium names have been read.
When the last barricade is taken down.
And the finish line announcer is already hoarse.
When the food table is nearly empty.
And the massage tables are all packed up.
It's finally time for their arrival.
The Back of the Pack.
Back of Pack Endurance is a weekly podcast from two guys who really know how to bring up the rear. Whether it's running or triathlon, weight loss or training, let John and Andrew be your guides. Your slow, so very slow guides. With guests ranging from names you already know to the ones you wish you did, they make the most of the wide, wide world of endurance sports. If you're a world record holder, or the last one across the line, or the Jan Brady of the middle, you've got friends in the back of the pack.
Well, it is 82, not 246. I don't know if we'll ever do 246 podcasts, John, but it is one third of that, as Rain Man pointed out. It is 82 episodes of the Back of Pack Endurance podcast. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. We say we'll never do that. What is that beeping?
I don't know.
That we'll never do 246, but we never thought we'd get to 10 or 20, you know. So
I didn't say we never are. Would. I said, who knows? I'm not expecting it.
Who would have thought it? You know, we're just two regular guys, you know, we're not exactly. Really, you know, and here we are almost 100 shows in.
And this is one of those shows that we might get some extra listeners on because of the title of the show.
Yeah.
So if you're new to Back of Pack Endurance Podcast, we are two Back of Pack guys. My website has been doughboy2ironman.com.
Yep. And I'm over here at fatslowtriathlete.com.
And we are 80 episodes into this venture where John and I have discovered that the wide world of endurance sports, I think my daughter uses that phrase in our intro already. The intro told you what the show is about, right? It's a long intro.
True.
It's a long intro. I've noticed.
We had talked about one time about shortening that, didn't we?
We have, just because I have a tiny intro for my other podcast.
Yeah, and I've noticed shows, other podcasts are really short.
But you know, it's funny. We just recorded episode 83 to release next week while I'm in Maine, and our guest referenced the intro a couple times as far as like, you know, I've got a story that can relate to that. So you know what? For now, John, let's leave it.
Yeah.
But even if you're not
I think most people have even skipped through it. The long-time listeners have skipped through it.
Skip through it. But yes, we are of show four, the back of the pack, but we've got friends in the middle and friends at the front. And we are excited about a stalking project that is part of tonight's show. Now, I don't want to build up mystery that's going to not pay off, John. So the fact is, we did not interview Scott Jurek himself for this podcast.
I would have been shocked, actually, if you'd gone. I thought maybe you'd get a word or two.
At most, I might have asked him to say, can you say you got a friend in the back of the pack or something?
Yeah.
We'll get to it, but there wasn't time.
You did get a picture, though.
You got a picture?
And I'm putting that on the show notes.
I've got some video. And what we're going to do tonight, I'm so excited because it's kind of a boring situation of hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, and I would say friend of mine now too, our good buddy Tim Pagan, he drove up from Maryland to go stalk Scott Jurek with me. And it was a great
I liked Tim. He's a good guy.
Tim is a great guy.
He's a good guy.
You might hear his voice on a couple of these clips.
Yeah, he's on there. I'd listen to him.
But he's not very outspoken. And I asked him about coming on tonight. He got home last night to Maryland at like 1 a.m. and had to run into work for an emergency. So he's going to bed now. We're recording late. And he's out. I'm just glad he got home safe because it was a long drive. He drove up and picked me up and we headed northeast. So before we get into that, do we have any quick updates, John, on our training or other things people are wondering about? We talked
My training's going good. I'm having some issues with the run as normal, but the bike and the swim are going really well. I'm having back issues again, and I went for a run tonight. Was supposed to get like a 45 minutes to an hour in, and managed to get most of it in, but really had to stop a lot to stretch my back out again, and I'm not sure what's going on, but just having some overall medical issues.
Okay.
I had to give my doctor a call today, just to get in there and get some blood work done because something's going on. I can always tell after all this time with it. I know when something's wrong, so... Hopefully it's nothing bad.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I've seen a little progress here. For those who don't know the show, I've had big surgery twice this year and then a minor knee surgery. Mm-hmm. So it's been and I'm reminded that I'm not bouncing back as a 43-year-old man like I thought I'd.
That is one of the things that you start noticing, isn't it?
It really is.
And I think that's the hardest thing to understand is as we get, and I got 10 years on you, it's that you start wondering, it's like, why am I still hurting? And then you have to realize, oh, because I'm 52 years old. That's why I'm still hurting.
Well, and for me, it's definitely not only just that, it's more of a case of detraining. So for context, what was it 2 years ago I did, or 3 years ago, I did a 5K open water swim. Mm-hmm. Terribly slow, but I was in the water for hours and steadily and breathing just fine. And I'm now back to the pool after a very long hiatus. And I finally made it back to my new master swimming program. I was only able to make it once the second week. I missed the whole first week. I went once the second week, and this is the third week, and I made it today. I did not make it through the whole workout once again, but I made it further into the hour than I had before. Okay, so I said, okay, I'm going to make it past 7 o'clock on hang on a second. I'm just sending a message to our person.
You're distracted. I can tell.
I'm just telling him he's got little kids, and he said, can we edit? I said, yeah, we're loose. In fact, I'm just going to leave that in what I just said right now. So the point being, I said by Wednesday, okay, Wednesday's workout, I'm going to make at least an hour, and it's an hour and a half session is what they're signed up for. And I said, by the end of, maybe July, I'll be here the whole hour and a half. And the coach, dude, he wears a shirt that's got the Punisher logo on the back of it.
Nice.
And as I was leaving today, I said to him, that's not an accident. And he's like, nope, this is my Monday shirt.
Well, the coach I had for
TNT. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the coach I had for TNT, the last cycle event, one of his jerseys was the Punisher jersey. And we always knew when he had that on, it's, oh, God, Hills. Yeah.
Well,
you knew it's coming.
And remember, my athletic history is, it just started, so.
Yeah.
People will mock me, but yeah, drills at band camp is the closest I've come. Now, you put a sousaphone on and march and play at the same time. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
It takes strength and breath support and everything. But even so, I don't have a history where I know what it's like to have a coach telling you, do this drill. So right. This isn't all new to me. And I'm a grown up though. So I can be like, I'm done for the day and go away because I'm paying to be here. There's no team that's waiting for me to. Right. It's not like if I leave practice, I don't get to swim next week. It's, very, very different. So,
yeah.
So I'm excited that I got further, and actually I'm excited that I got out of bed because it was a late night for myself. Not as late as Tim, as we mentioned, but.
Yeah, that's an early morning. I don't know if I could do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I got to get up at 5 and be in the pool at 6. So
yeah,
I got home last night after 10 and I didn't go right to sleep.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, man. Let's get into the stalking Scott Jurek.
Yeah.
Now you've listened. We're just going to play a couple clips. I took my iPad and did kind of a podcast from the road. Number of our episodes, I've done that. Mm-hmm. We got to get you out there, John, doing remote podcasting. This has been my forte.
It's such a natural for you. I was talking actually to Tom Barbieri about it earlier.
Oh, really? You guys are talking about me?
Well, no. He's saying that Andy likes doing that. He likes, you know, going after people like that. I said, yeah, that's his thing. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's not my thing. And he goes, and he's actually interested to see how that talking to people like this, how it motivates you. So that's what his interest is in it.
Well,
you know, and that's, I think it's a valid question. Yeah.
We'll get to that because my encounter here is going to be very, very different than our impromptu guest. This is like Gonzo podcasting. Because of Tim, I just contacted somebody on Facebook that I don't know and said, hey, would you come on my podcast? So we're going to call him in a few minutes here. but we're going to drop in some clips.
Yeah.
So basically
I like them all.
Yeah. Oh, good. even the birds.
That's the only one I would say not to put in. Okay. That would be the only one.
I recorded some bird calls.
All the others I liked.
All right. So
I thought they were very, especially Jenny's, Jenny Jerks. Well, interview.
Oh, see, now you
that was outstanding.
You stepped on my punchline.
Oh, sorry.
Timing. I'm kidding. All right. So yeah,
look at the show notes. They'll see your picture.
That's true. We have an actual interview. I have an actual interview with Jenny Jerk. Then there's just a couple clips here. We're going to play of us just talking about the scene of what we're observing. So we'll start with the first one. Basically what we did was we used the Facebook tracker to figure out where he probably would cross that day and then head out. So we're in Northeast Pennsylvania. It was about a 2-hour drive from my house where we first started. We started at Wind Gap. We figured he would get at least that far. Long story short, he actually stayed at Wind Gap last night. So we got there there was a the trail map that I was referencing showed that 1 mile into the direction he was coming from, 1 mile south, he's heading north, there was an overlook. We thought that would be a great place to try. So we were actually, the place we parked at Wind Gap, it's like pretty busy road and kind of loud. Not a great not an ideal spot to kind of meet somebody, but it's a great parking place. Met a hiker that was heading southward, and she was just getting water to head out to her next goal. So we hiked a mere 1 mile. We went up, but it was up. It was straight up. Well, not straight up, but it was up. It was an ascent.
It's
up enough for me today. Let's put it that way. And the question is my knee. So I had knee surgery, and Tim was asking me, how's your knee? My knee actually did fine. For some reason, my left ankle was acting weird, but whatever. We took our time and got up to an overlook, Han Overlook. If you know the Appalachian Trail, we were up at Han Overlook. And we sat there for a while. And then actually the first hiker we had met, she had gone for water while we had started hiking. So then she caught up to us. Purple Lady, I think is her name. She's hiked a lot over the years. So she headed by and we said, well, if you see him, say hi. She said, well, I'm only going to the next shelter, so I don't know that I'll see him. But I said, well, he'll fly. He's doing 5 miles to your one, I think, at this point. So, yeah. So we sat up there for a while, and Tim actually got internet at the top of the hill. He used his phone. He got his phone with 3GS as a wireless hotspot to the laptop. Because the problem is the Scott Jurek app that they're using, the AT15 tracking app, it's very accurate, but you can't access it from a mobile device. You have to access it now. Well, that's not entirely accurate. I couldn't, like, in my Facebook app on my iPad, I could not access it. However, if I got into Facebook via web browser on my iPad, it would work. So my wife, I'm texting my wife, checking it on the desktop at home, see how he's tracking. And what we realized was at the point that we were sitting there, he was 20 miles to our south. So we could wait there 3.5 hours at that spot. Mm. Or we could figure out where the next crossroad over was. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to cut and we're going to play the clip. So I just described the whole first clip is what I just did. See, I forgot how to podcast all of a sudden. So here's just us fooling around at the top of the mountain for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll play the clip where we go over to the new spot.
Right.
All right.
So here we are at some kind of overlook rock, about a mile on the trail from Wind Gap, Pennsylvania. And it is a beautiful day out. Eagles are swooping literally feet away from us alongside the mountain. We just met a thru-hiker named Purple Lady. She's heading to shelter. And Tim, in the beauty of the outdoors, has his laptop hooked up to the internet. Say hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Andy.
So,
hi, everybody.
Why don't you give them an update on what we thought we might do here and what we think we might do now?
Well, we thought we would meet him here, but it looks like it's going to be a three-hour wait if we stay here. There's an option of hiking back down to the car and going to another road crossing that may work, but there's also a possibility we may miss him if we do that.
So we're going to have to figure out soon if we're doing that. So Tim is going to figure out our logistics. We are at a beautiful spot, but yeah, I'm starting to be skeptical whether he wants to go this far tonight.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
If there's a spot where we can go find him, we might just have to do that. One thing that is not helpful is we were thinking that when we parked, we might spot the van that's clearly the support van that has his materials. We did not see that van at the parking area by the trail. So that could mean they are 500 yards on the other side of that hill on 33, but I don't think they are because I don't think they'd put two parking areas that close together. I think that's it. Where we are is probably it for 33. I don't know about, what do you think? It wasn't like 100. I mean, we got off the road and it was like right there, right?
Yeah.
So we're pretty sure if somebody is over at this place waiting, they're there. So let's see.
We could go to the other road because we're way over here.
We're over there. And where is he now? How many, can you figure out how far he is to that road?
No, there's no scale on this map.
Well, all right, we're going to take a look at my list of stops and where Tim wants to go. So hopefully this won't be as boring next time we check in. All right, well, we took a detour. We went down to the bottom. Well, we went back to our car. There were some other people there through hiking. And actually, somebody else who appeared to be on a Scott Jurek stalking trip. So we decided to head over to the next road we could find on a map the trail crossed. So we're at Smith Gap Road at the top of the hill. It's a pretty flat run across the ridge for him at this point. He is moving. My wife, we did check in with Megan. The tracker shows that he is moving across this ridge. And this would be the next road that he would pass, I'm pretty sure. Unless the tracking is super far behind and we missed him, which would really suck. He should be rolling up this this path here within the hour, maybe half hour, maybe 10 minutes. I don't know, Tim. How do you feel about our chances? How do you feel?
I think we're going to be lucky. I think it's a good spot.
I think we nailed it. I think we timed it right.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I don't think he's passed here yet. Because when I noticed the GPS tracker online, like I would go on at like 7:15 a.m. and it showed me what 7:11 was. So it's not like it's hours behind or anything.
Yeah.
So we're gonna, it's raining now, it's a light rain. I still have my good camera out, which is probably dumb, but it's not the first time I've done it. So we're gonna maybe walk down this trail a little bit and see what we can see and try to meet Scott Jurek. Say woohoo, Tim.
Woohoo.
Okay, so what you heard is that's just us so far in the live podcast, or I should say on location podcast. You've heard we really weren't sure what to find. You know, we weren't sure how do you go meet up with a guy who's running the Appalachian Trail? That's really the question, and especially if you're not prepared to go running with him, because I wasn't. I just wasn't. I mean, even like, you know, half a mile, I couldn't keep up with Scott Jurek. So.
Well, I tell you, when I first saw the pictures, the first one I saw that Tim sent out had you there with your camelback on.
Right.
I thought you were planning on running with him. I said,
just because
that's really, you look like you were ready to run.
I look ready to run.
To me.
Well, that
you look like you were going to run.
That picture looked like we were well rested, too. Yeah. That's probably why. Crazy? He looked well rested.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, at that point, when we got over to Wind Gap, we weren't really sure. whether or not we knew he'd come by that way, but we weren't sure if this is the best way to go about it or anything. And we started, and we had brought, well, I say we, so this is a situation. The joke is, if you ever saw the Seinfeld about the big salad,
yeah,
where George buys the big salad for the friend, Elaine hands it to her, and so she says, thank you. And Elaine's like, you're welcome. Right. Yeah. Takes all the credit.
Yeah.
Okay, so
did you take the credit for the food that he
I was the Elaine of Trail Magic, okay? Because I'm just...
I kind of picked up on that, to be honest.
Right, right. And I mean, I did acknowledge it. And later, when Tim dropped me off, I gave him a couple bucks for gas and that. I don't know if it was nearly enough because he had brought good stuff. Tim had brought fresh fruit. So we had cold cherries, grapes, strawberries, and bananas, and he kept them all real cold. And he also had candied ginger and cashews and almonds, so all real foods. And my wife, having I'd mentioned before, had experience on the Appalachian Trail growing up as a local, and her dad serving the trail as a park ranger. She's like, you gotta take Trail Magic, you gotta take something for him. A lot of times people take like baked goods and junk food, stuff that they wouldn't normally get, but they were so, so appreciative. The people we met, and just a few through hikers, were really appreciative of the fresh fruit. So here I'll play a couple clips back to back of our just standing around waiting and figuring out if we're in the right place or not. All right, so we ran into some thru-hikers while it's raining here, and because Tim's a kind guy, he brought Trail Magic, so there's nice fruit. So you guys know Scott Jurek's on the trail.
Yeah.
You've heard word. Has anybody been going by either that spotted him? I can't imagine, because he's going so fast, who's passing him?
Yeah, nobody.
But everybody kind of knows that he's out.
Yeah,
I see his updates on Facebook.
Yeah. Where are you? How far are you going to get tonight, do you figure?
Next
shelter.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is like Leroy something.
Leroy, yeah. I have a mileage map here. So yeah, you're real close. You're only a couple miles. Well, yeah, you're like 3.5 miles.
Yeah, Leroy Smith Shelter.
Yeah.
That's like an hour away. 50 minutes.
Yeah, Leroy. And then we were up at the lookout, waiting for him up there. We parked at Wind Gap. It's only a mile up. So.
Oh yeah.
And it was beautiful. Now it's this.
Yeah. Now it's
kind of
crappy.
So, well, if you see a lady, a through hiker coming the other way, Purple Lady, is that her name?
Yeah.
Say hi to Purple Lady. She's an older lady.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked to her when we started out.
Cool. Yeah.
So, what's your names?
I'm Don Vino.
Hi, Don Vino.
Kaiser.
Mm-hmm. So the other day I saw a vanity plate that said it was Kaiser Soze. And I was like, yes.
Yeah. I got this. I'm just going to walk like this the whole way to Maine. I'm going to get the cotton, just walk off.
Right on. So when are you planning to get all the way through?
September sometime.
September?
September.
Okay.
We're just kind of barely cruising.
Oh, hey, take it all in.
Yeah. All
right. Take it all in. So,
Yeah, why hurry up to go home, you know?
Yeah, right? That's why I take
all... I'll go back to work when I go that
place. Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, glad to say hi to some hikers out here.
Yeah.
We're hoping the celebrity comes through soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll keep you out too much.
All right, another update. We are still on the road. Met a couple more through hikers, and one of them called a guy where he and another hiker are now going to stay for the night. He just picked him up, and the fellow who picked him up seems to be like one of those guys that knows everything about the trail. He's very aware of where Scott started today, knows who he's running with, and we just said it. What was the guy's name? It was Carl Metzger?
Yeah.
Famous trail runner. When he was out here a couple years ago making an attempt like this, this guy had helped him out a piece. So he might come back up the hill to wait with us now that we've kind of confirmed he's almost here. That sound of a truck going by is actually a rare sound at this spot. We're in the middle of nowhere. Our previous spot was right by a pretty busy highway. When we climbed up to the overlook, we were at least halfway up the hill before we stopped really hearing tons of traffic noise. So we believe he might be about 8 miles out at this time. So we're going to hang out here. I never realized how, well, I guess I'm not surprised,
how much people like Trail Magic. Yeah. Tim is the brains behind Trail Magic. What did you bring today, Tim?
I brought some grapes, cherries, strawberries, bananas. They're all ice cold, so you know, it's a nice treat.
And one guy, I think he's like, you saved my life. So he only has 3.5 miles. From where we are, everybody that we're seeing come through is going to the next shelter 3.5 miles away, where they can all wait and watch Scott Jurek blow by for his next 20 miles after they all go to bed, or bed down, I should say. So we're probably going to see him up here soon. All right. This is some fun remote podcasting. Tim, you're such a barn burner of a talker. Anything else to say?
No, this is a lot of fun. This is a great place to wait. You know, it's nice shade. It's really nice weather now.
Yeah, we did find a nice place, though. There are definitely a lot of no trespassing signs along this road. This is it's a zoned and planned township. I'm going to walk over here, bore the heck out of people who are listening. We're at the border of Moore Township and Eldred Township. And Eldred Township says a planned and zoned community permits are required. And coming up the hill, I will say the homes were rather expensive. So lots of wealthy people live along this road and don't want you to know what's back here. So there you are. Anyway, hopefully when we check in again, we will say hi to Scott Jurek. Well, things just got really interesting because the film crew is now here. So we definitely know we're in the right place. There's three guys and they've got some serious gear and they are, of course, documenting event. They've been catching up about every 4 to 5 miles, but they said the last they saw him was 12 miles back. So sometime here in this beautiful day, we're going to have them come by, and if they're not too busy, maybe we'll get them to say a word on the podcast.
Okay, so clearly when the van showed up, we knew that it was time.
Did that guy say his name was Kaiser?
Kaiser. Oh yeah, that one guy said his name is Kaiser. Yeah, because
okay,
that's his trail name. Because I remember saying, "Yeah, I saw the Kaiser Soze license plate we were chatting about." So.
Yeah. I couldn't make that out. I thought he said Kaiser. Did he make a joke about like walking? What was the joke
that
he was going to do the trail, walking a certain way, and I imagined he was goose stepping or something.
Oh, possibly.
But, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So they were fun guys, and then the thing I have to though tell you, so there's a reference in one of these clips. I don't know if it's the one I just played or the one I'm about to play. There's a local guy and he's involved with the trail and he comes up to be a help, but you think I'm talkative. This guy just wouldn't shut up and he just wouldn't stop talking about all the great things he does for people. And it's just kind of like, Oh yeah. I mean, now we said his trail name, but Here's the thing. We're a little worried about him because everybody that we talk to, he wants them to come shower at his house. And like, he'd ask people 2 and 3 times if they wanted to come shower at his house. And finally, Tim and I picked up on this and I talked to the crew about it. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. Tim theorized there could be a trail cam at the shower. Maybe. So if anybody's out there, the kind of people who might look for a webcam called like Naked Trail Shower Webcam, not saying I've looked for it and I'm not going to, we think we might know where there might be one. So it's just I'm sure the guy, he's eager, he's very helpful, but it was just so funny. I'm just like, that dude is asking everybody to come shower at his house. So
I think he's probably just trying to be helpful.
I'm sure he was, but dude, if you had been there, it was so funny. The theme was just like, so yeah. We might,
you imagine what my reaction would have been. I was like, sure, come on.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, man.
Yeah. So, well, and actually there were guys who had called him that knew to call him and stuff. So I don't know. I shouldn't be, we're just teasing, but I'm telling you on site, it was just kind of like, there's a shower theme here. So we'll play the clip from Jenny Jurek, who very graciously let me interview her while she was tending to things in the
washing dishes
and getting food ready. And she said, yeah, Scott really would probably like all the fresh fruit you guys brought. It just depends. We're really filling up with stuff here. And he had his watermelon ready to go. So, but yeah, the guys that came through with him. So the other thing I'm going to try to do, I took some video of the guys who caught up with him. Well, not, excuse me, caught up with him. He was passing and they ran along with him for 7 miles.
Oh, really?
And they were, yeah, young guys. You didn't hear about them yet. I have a video of them. I'm just going to try to pull the audio off of it. They were very excited because they had decided to slack pack that day, which meant somebody else took their packs ahead. And that way they were able to just take the challenge and keep up with them for 7 miles across the ridge.
Nice.
They were fun guys. So anyway, so we'll play some of those. If there's any clips left, we'll play those now. Turns out it's going to be too much hassle to throw in that extra little clip. And you people are probably sick of those by now anyway. So the next clip is going to be the interview with Jenny Jurek. The video will go on our Back of Pack Endurance Facebook page. So the rest of the show is going to be actual interviews with people who are involved with the run.
Yeah, I live in Pennsylvania. I live closer to Duncannon. I wanted to see y'all at Duncannon, but it didn't work out for the time. So.
Okay.
So I'm recording. I'm talking to Jenny here, who's Scott's wife. Say hi to the podcast world.
Hey, podcast world.
We're at the top of, I've said the name of this road 75 billion
Smith
times.
Gap road.
Smith Gap. And there's a camera crew here of three guys with gear out the wazoo to capture Scott running by. There's a local guy just stopped by that's a Trail Conservancy helper, and he's out here with his dog. And Jenny's doing dishes.
Sure am. I'd like to do the dishes with the melted ice from my cooler.
You guys have been on the road now almost 4 weeks. What day are we on?
We're on day 26.
Okay, and what's the goal? I can't remember. Is it 42?
Well, I mean, that's what he thinks it can be done, but he's not going to hit that. So anything between 42 and 46 would be amazing.
And the current record's 40 is it the 46.
46. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we saw that you hit the halfway point in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pretty good time, so that was cool.
Yeah, it's just exciting to see progress.
Yeah.
And like, holy moly, we're actually like getting this done. So yeah, it was exciting, but when I think about it, halfway is still so far away.
It's a very long place. So what's it like? What's the road like? I mean, everybody's going to see the Facebook updates of Scott and all the milestone things. What's it like for you being crew and having the van and having all the people that come out of nowhere like us, just checking this thing out? What's this experience like?
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to see how many people come out because, you know, they're inspired by Scott or they want to be a part of this. And I think that's great. That's like the one, like, that's the thing that's keeping him going. It's just the energy and hearing everybody's stories and people, you know, people are like, hey, I read your book and I lost 60 pounds. Like, he's gotten that a lot. So it's really amazing. But for me, I'm just so tired because I'm going on the same amount of sleep that Scott's going on, like 4 to 5 hours. And then plus I'm driving, trying to read my paper maps, trying to find these roads. I've never been here before. You know, I'm just like, it's like a shot in the dark. So it's a little stressful on top of being sleep deprived. And then I'm driving all day, so I don't really get to exercise as much either. So I don't really have that euphoric joy that he gets, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more of like a grind for me.
My dad was in the Navy, and they called it hurry up and wait. And
oh,
it looks like you're doing
that
over and over all day, hurry up and wait.
And then sometimes I misjudge it. Like last night, it was Hurricane Bill, pouring rain. He did a 59-mile day to the fort, and then he had another 54. No. Anyway, it was like stacked up big days, and then he was in this major storm at night, and I was like 3 minutes late. And I just know it's like the worst feeling to pop out of the trail and be like, where is she? Where is she? So sometimes I just like misgauge it or... I don't know.
Well, we talked to some through hikers actually at another stop where we started, and we're asking, do you know about Scott Jurek? Have you heard of him? Do you know he's on the trail? He's going to catch you today or tomorrow. And most have heard of him, but there was somebody that said they were hoping to see him, but then they popped in somewhere because of the rain, or no.
Oh,
he stops kind of off the trail. He always stops at the ski resorts, right? And he said he found out later that he had run by...
Or he thought he had run by in the rain. I'm getting this backwards. No, because we were the ones to tell him he hasn't run by you yet.
Oh.
He thought maybe he missed him. So now he's at the next trail shelter, and he's excited because we confirmed, no, he's on the way. You guys are going to see him go by. So,
yeah,
he's going to pass a guy up here that's got an M&M bursting out of his backpack. I mean, the music.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he runs through the night. He runs through the storms. He's just out there getting the mileage in.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty
how many nights, I mean, so is he sleeping at night? How long?
Not really, because he wakes up a little bit later. Because, I mean, at home, he's just a night owl. He's
oh, really?
Like, midnight is like his witching hour. He's really productive at night. And
I
like,
thought all these trail runners got, you know, it was like the opposite.
It's
but
kind
that's
of
cool.
the opposite,
that's
but interesting. He likes to sleep in, and then he does better at night. So it's hard because we're trying to just shift his internal clock just because of the heat and everything and the daylight. And sometimes we can, but it's a slow process of shifting it. You can't just do it once.
Right.
All at once. So, yeah.
So everybody that's showing up along the trail at places like this, are they keeping track on the Facebook app? Because that seems to be pretty accurate. We've been getting good information from it. Is that the main way?
Well, the thing was it wasn't working at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And either it was us or it was the unit. But we finally, figured it out. And it's working. And so, yeah, I think people are... That's the only way, the satellite tracker thing is how people are finding it. And then also locals will be like, hey, he just came through this place at this time. And then the words, they post it to, the trail running group or the Facebook page of their running store. And so people can kind of get a gauge on when he's going to be the next
one. I posted a few days ago on Facebook that he just got into Pennsylvania. So I'm guessing Duncannon on Friday. And I was right. He crossed the bridge of Duncannon on Friday.
Yeah, and that was cool. We were just a day early for the trail festival.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it would have been cool, but...
Yeah. Somebody I know has pictures that she might have ran alongside him the next day a little bit. Quite a trail runner. There was a guy that had a sign that said, "This is my mountain." Do you remember that guy? Like, you're running on my mountain now or something like that. And he was there. Local guy, obviously.
Oh, no.
And I don't know. You posted a picture of a friend. There's just so many people along the way.
Oh, I know.
That
it's
are just trying
really
to
impressive. Like,
see it.
A lot of times in the morning, he'll start out with just one or two people at the parking lot. Because that's early for somebody to rally that early. And then we'll see him at the next stop maybe 10 miles later. And there's 15 people. I'm
nice.
Where did everybody come from? Yeah. It's really cool. It's kind of funny, too.
Well, we started at the trail crossing 8 miles further along, and nobody was there.
Uh-huh.
And we just said, let's go up a mile into the trail to the overlook. We thought that would be a good spot. And then we actually got internet and figured out where he was. And, let's go back one mountain over on the car. And then it seemed to be obvious that this would be the place. And then your crew came, and so we're glad to be here. This is a very cool thing.
And this is pretty a mellow one.
Okay.
I'm seeing a pattern. The morning shifts are really full, and then the evening and night shifts are pretty mellow.
Okay.
And then weekends are more busy.
Sure.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean...
So when you get to Maine, I can't imagine going that far ever, but to do it in record time, I mean, are you going to put up a finish line? Are you going to... What kind of... Or is it just okay, here I am. It's done.
It's just going to be one of those,
All right now.
No, I think it'll... I can't even think that far ahead, but I think it'll be really special for him.
Yeah.
This is such a huge endeavor. Just so many hours planning and so much time and so much, stress on the both of us. This is going
to
be big.
Well, yeah, because you had to really buy into something like this.
Oh, yeah.
When did he decide on this, and when did you guys start the planning? And
well, we're section hiking the PCT, so we're just we've done the first 220 miles. And last May, he was like, I think I want to do the AT. He's like, I think I want to go for the record. And I'd never really heard him talk about it before. We've never been on it. We've never, he's run a couple races that have a few miles on it. But he was like, because it's shorter and he doesn't have that much time to take off to do the PCT, and there's more road access, so Okay. You know what I mean? Where the PCT is a little more remote, there's long stretches where you can't get support, or it'd be really hard to get support if the roads are like really rocky. But this is really great road access.
Yeah, I'm from this part of the world, so I know that like, it feels remote, but you're never more than 10 miles from something.
Right.
You're always close to some kind of road going across everything. Yeah.
So, you know, he's just like a little worried because it's just me and him, and he's just like, if you break down, you get a flat tire, you know, in the middle of nowhere, like with no cell reception.
Sure.
That's a little sketchy. But here, I mean, even though there are times when it is like, whoa, where I hope I don't break down, it's really not that far.
It is the Appalachian Trail after all, you know.
Yeah.
Your banjo music run.
Right. Yeah. But it hasn't been that bad. There's just been a couple spots where I'm like, hurry.
So when he said, let's go for the record, I'm sure there was no doubt that he could achieve it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You don't undertake something like this if you don't think you can, I mean, you're going to ace it.
Right. Well, it's kind of in his wheelhouse. It's an endurance thing. It's a mental thing. He's really strong, but he has just so much willpower. And also, he really thrives on... It's a social trail. It's more social than the PCT. So he thrives on talking to the through hikers and the people and it's just, it was like a new challenge. Like he's never, it was just really blind. He's never been here. I've never crewed something. I've never done anything like this. So
does he have a trail name yet?
Well, he always uses the same trail name he had since 2006.
Which is
Elvenado.
Elvenado,
which was given to him by Micah True, Caballo Blanco, and Born to Run.
Yes.
And it's the deer.
Right.
So that's kind of whenever we do the PCT or whenever we do any, that's his trail name.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some time with me here on the podcast.
No problem.
One more last question I've got to ask. What's he think of Rocksylvania? Maybe ask him after Delaware Water Gap.
Yeah. He, you know, it's living up to his name, its name, but he doesn't think it's that bad.
Okay. Like, well, he's not done with it yet either.
Exactly.
We should ask him tomorrow.
So far, he's not complaining too much, but he's not really a complainer. He's more just like matter of fact. He's like, yeah, it's rocky. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's on the way to where he's going, so.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been beautiful so far. We like it.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Well,
thank you very much.
Maybe you'll get out and do the whole thing.
One day. One day.
All right, so then as you see from the photo that we posted too, so Tim and I just got a photo, got the picture signed, or got the book signed, and because I had heard him say, well, I'm going to head out. So I'm like, at that point, I'm just like, hey, do you have a quick second for a picture and an autograph? That was it. I wasn't going to ask any more than that. And other people wanted a couple pictures. So he's like, yeah, sure. And he did that at every place. But here's the thing. If you are a person who can keep up with someone like Scott Jurek, and you're on the trail, you know, he is a kindred spirit and a true trail runner. So, we just happened to learn about somebody. Our friend Tim that I just mentioned, was on Facebook and somehow saw a post of somebody that he now is Facebook friends with. I messaged him like 10 minutes ago and he said, sure, I'll come on the show. And we're going to talk to somebody now who ran with Scott Jurek, I believe today. Yeah, today. So this is very exciting. This is
podcast magic.
Yeah, it's like trail magic, podcast magic. Yeah. Make sure.
Hello.
Is this Yosef?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I can hear you fine. This is Andy that just messaged you out of the blue.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm great. And this is my co-host John. Is the other voice you'll hear?
Hi, Yosef.
Hi. How are you? I have a little trouble hearing, but hopefully I can hear your questions.
Okay.
Well, we just want you to tell your story. I mean, not a lot of detail to ask. I was out on the trail yesterday just to meet Scott going by. I didn't run with him at all. We met him. Actually, we had started at Wind Gap. My friend and I, we hiked in a mile up to the opposite way you went, up to an overlook and waited. Then we realized he was 20 miles out. So we went over and saw him at Smith Gap and got a quick picture and hung out with the crew there for a while. But it was a very much a run by and we didn't really talk to him long enough to really ask him anything. But I interviewed Jenny, for about 15 minutes myself. So
cool.
My friend Tim that was with me, he just sent me your post what a half hour ago, and you had was that that would have been today then. You got up super early, so it's late for you, I'm sure. Just today you went running a number of miles with Scott Jurek. So tell us all about it. How far did you run? Where'd you go? And what was that experience like?
Okay. So definitely. Well, really, it was one of those things where everything just worked out perfectly. You know, like basically last night, you know, I was checking his Facebook page every day, seeing where his progress is. And I was planning on waking up early this morning and going maybe like to Mount Tammany, Delaware Water Gap, just to sort of like hang out and hope to catch him. But right before I fell asleep, I saw he posted at like 10 p.m. that he was stopping for the night to sleep in this like parking lot at Wind Gap. So literally like lying in bed, all half asleep, I just Googled Wind Gap, got the GPS coordinates, you know, took a little you know, screenshot of it on my phone and set an alarm for 3 a.m. And then I, you know, when I got up at 3 in the morning, I just put it in my GPS and went there. And, you know, I left the house probably like 3:30. When I got there, it was like 4:45. And literally, within seconds of pulling into the parking lot, I see this, cliff cliff bar, like, he's a sponsored athlete with different brands. See this cliff van and Scott Jurek just like staggers, like stumbles out of the van. Obviously because he's exhausted, not that he's hungover or anything. and he's just like barefoot, wearing like compression shorts, and no shirt. And he just like walks on the rocks, you know, behind the van to get something. And, I was so like, kind of like starstruck. I was, I immediately kind of, because sometimes I've been, like, really polite and then missed an opportunity, like, driven hours to see some celebrity or someone I look up to and then been too shy and, blow it. So I was a little forward. I was like, can I have a picture or something like that? But before I could say anything, he was like, oh, hold on 1 minute, you know. So he just disappeared back in the van. And, you know, he was in there, like, 10, 15 minutes. And then when he came out, he was, like, ready to go, start running. And he came right up to me and introduced myself, and he gave me a fist bump, and he's like, "Are you going to run with me today?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, I'm like, "Is that allowed?" Like, that's fine. He said, "Yeah, for sure." So I was like, "Great." So, I wasn't sure how many miles I was going to do with him, but I had taken the day off from work, so I had the ability, to do a bunch of miles with him. We did about 8 miles. It was barely running those 8 miles because it was so rocky, like huge boulders, sharp rocks. I mean, just trying to like hike it and walk it was challenging enough. Running was sort of out of the question. And then after those 8 miles, we did like another 8 pretty much. And there, that for me was like more exhilarating because there was a lot of, very smooth, like, areas to run on that were uphill. And for me, I was working hard because it was like a few miles of nonstop uphill. And I could tell he was working hard, but that's not because of his fitness level. That's because he's literally been logging 50 miles a day for like weeks on end, you know, and, it was just, blew my mind to like sort of, you know, me and Scott Jurek side by side, like pushing ourselves, endurance wise running, you know what I mean? It was, amazing. And just, you know, having the conversations, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, the guy's focused. He's probably very, you know, he's on little sleeps. I wasn't sure if he wants to talk or not. Maybe, you know, sometimes people don't want to talk. They just want to like go, you know, but he kept initiating conversation. It was 5 hours we were together on the trail. So after like 2-3 hours, you're just like, oh, hey, Scott, like you're like talking to him, like, you know, him a while, you know? And, at the same time, I kept like pinching myself, cause it really was, kind of like a dream come true, as cliche as it sounds, you know?
That makes a lot of sense. You know, the nature of our show, as I mentioned to you on Facebook, it's called Back of Pack Endurance. But we get, you know, in endurance world, we get friends of all skill levels, and everybody lets you be part of the family. And when what John and I have found is that as guys who finish last, you know, if you're out doing a half Ironman and you're taking up all eight and a half hours, the people you meet as you're walking in the last part of that half marathon, you get talking for a while because you've got time. And it seems to me that long distance trail running, whether you're fast or slow, you still have that same phenomena as what you're describing there. I'm just, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I've done, some ultras where, you know, depending on the length and who, you know, some of the front of the packers, they might be running the whole time. It's funny, today when we were walking on the trail, there was a couple, for some of the miles, there was a couple high school kids, like seniors that are cross country, guys, you know, they're like good runners, young guys, and they were with us a few miles. So they were asking him some questions. I guess, you know, some like typical questions that people are curious about. And I was guilty of that too. I asked him some cookie cutter questions. Like I was like, are you more proud of your, you know, seven, Western States, 100 mile endurance run victories, or like your Spartathlon, you know, 165 mile race in Greece that you're the only one who ever came close to Yannis Kouros, the record. So like, what are you more proud of? And he's like, I'm proud of both. I'm proud of all, you know, everything I've accomplished in my career. But the high school kids asked them, they said, when you're running like Western States 100, so is there a lot of walking? And he looks at them, he's like, no, not if he's trying to win. You know, like, you know, I mean, you know, at ultras, people are doing a lot of walking, but a guy like him, if he was trying to win them, I mean, he's running, he said, probably about 99% of the time in one of those 100 milers, you know. But, yeah, it was just crazy to see things. I mean, he's so lean right now, you know, because no matter what, he's eating, like I would say after those first 8 miles, like before we went out on the run, first thing, like 5 in the morning, comes out of that van, he didn't run at all. He immediately has like a Cliff Bar, a banana, he drinks something. We didn't even cover any miles yet. Then we go out 8 miles. It's not running. It's just like walking, hiking. After those 8 miles, you know, his crew puts out like a smorgasbord for him. He has like 3 slices of bread, probably like Ezekiel bread or something like that, with like some kind of yellow like spread on it. He has this like huge chocolate brownie. It's probably some delicious like vegan gourmet homemade concoction with like black beans and who knows what. You know, he had like a Cliff Bar. They had this whole like tray of Dunkin' Donuts. He didn't touch any of them. And then he went right back out. And I just saw he keeps eating. Like it's, you know, I mean, it's crazy what he's doing. I mean, I was talking with him, you know, I don't know why. I just assume he probably, goes from dawn to dusk. Like as long as there's daylight, he's out there on his feet. And he's like, no way. Are you kidding me? He's like, I start when it's light outside, but I keep going sometimes till 10 p.m., 12 midnight, 12:30, whatever it takes to cover the miles. You know, he has his headlamp. Sometimes he's alone in the dark doing those late miles. And it's crazy because he said he's been meeting some runners along this trip that ask him, like, oh, so do you take naps during the day? Do you have time to, like, chill? You know, like, he's like, no, I don't have time for that. Like, you know, it's like he really kept saying the words, this is the real deal. This is the real deal, because it is tough. You know, even for Scott Jurek, this is sort of uncharted territory because he's never really done like real like multi-day, you know, like he's never done like 10-day events and 6-day events where you're doing 50 miles or 100 miles a day, consecutive days. He's done obviously tons of 100-mile events, he's done tons of 24-hour events, but he's never done these, like, many, many consecutive days of this kind of mileage. So it's pretty crazy how fearless he is. You know, I asked him, like, how do you choose the AT, the Appalachian Trail, over, like, let's say the Pacific Crest Trail on the West Coast? So he's like, well, I never really had been out on the AT that much in the past, so it intrigued me. And, like, I was thinking when he said, I'm like, wow, like how fearless is that? It's like you're gonna go choose the one you're less familiar with to tackle, you know, because that's probably a big part of being a trail runner, ultra runner. It's like the unknown and, you know, challenging yourself and putting yourself out of your comfort zone. things like that, you know.
So are you you must have some trail experience then.
I mean, it's funny. I've only been on trails, like, I just started running 2 years ago. Like, I lost 90 pounds. I I'm 30 years old. From, like, at age 28, I started getting into this stuff. Before that, I never did anything besides go out to eat. You know, like, I never was never into fitness and things like that. I know it sounds cliche and cookie cutter, but, like, I read Born to Run a couple years ago, not because I was into running, but just because I was told it was a good book, which I still think it is a good book, and I probably think anyone could probably read it and enjoy it. You don't have to be a runner. Yeah. But when I read it, I was like, what? I was shocked. I mean, I'd heard of marathons. You know, everyone knows of the New York City Marathon, the Boston Marathon, it's on TV, whatever. But then I heard, like, there are people running 50 miles, 100 miles. I never knew people could run on trails. I only thought people hike trails with, like, massive tents and backpacks on their backs. And I just started, like, researching online, and I discovered that it's, you know, such a warm, small, like, close-knit, supportive, open community, and it appealed to me, you know, especially if you're, like, a beginner. So, you know, the road race scene is very, like, you know, it's checking your Garmin constantly, what pace, you know, are you getting faster, track workouts, this, that. And with trails, it's, like, totally acceptable. Oh, okay, you walk the uphills, you know, if it's 12 hours, you're out on the trail, so you're inevitably going to walk some of it. It's going to be fine. You'll probably still make it under the cutoff. So in a way, even though it's, like, longer and more challenging and there's elevation gain and loss, at the same time, sometimes it's, like, less scary, you know, because it's, like, the marathon, the road races is, like, so to speak, no excuse to walk. It's, like, run everything. You know, so maybe that appealed to me also. I just really fell in love with it. I mean, after doing this today with Scott Sherrick, it makes me want to get out on the trails even more. I mean, we saw so many, like, through hikers, just doing the entire AP. And it's pretty inspiring to see because, you know, it takes them a long time. And in some ways, that's harder. You know, it's like, you know, just being out there that long for months. It's very cool.
I love hearing this story because you know you said what just 2 years ago, you started getting moving. You've lost 90 pounds, and now you just ran 16 miles with a world champion ultra runner. I mean, would you have imagined that before you had whatever moment where you just decided to change things?
Definitely would have never imagined that. I mean, you know, a friend of mine saw what I posted today on Facebook with a little recap, and he reposted it on some other blog or site he has, and he said a good point, which I didn't really even think of. You know, it's one thing to, like, meet a hero of yours. It's a whole other experience to meet a hero of yours and then get to participate in the thing you value him for. You know what I mean? Meaning, like, you could meet Michael Jordan at a dinner or in a casino and shake his hand, and he's wearing a suit, and so are you, and you maybe have a martini. But you're very, like, even that is very unlikely. But what are the odds that you would meet Michael Jordan and then go play basketball with him for, like, 2.5 hours in an NBA right. game, you know what I mean? So that's what this was like for me, you know. It wasn't just meeting. I would have driven 3 hours just to meet him and take a picture for 30 seconds, but the fact that I got to, you know, run with him side by side and honestly, I didn't feel like I needed to slow down at all because, you know, between the walking and the running at a slow pace, like, it wasn't like people ask me, like, oh, so is he, like, sprinting, like, you know, like, I'm like, no, because he's doing, like, 50 miles a day, you know, like he's always, like, shocked, you know, he can't afford to just do it during the daylight hours, because at this mileage, he's got to go slowly or he's going to wreck his legs. You know, so
yeah,
he is moving slowly out there.
if he's in the middle of Western states and this is, you know, one time and then everybody crashes after, yeah, he can might be try to run 6 minute miles in a trail run, but you can't do that on a 42, 45 day trek. It sounds like
right. It's funny you say that.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that he actually said that exact same thing. He said, like, the biggest thing right now for this, you know, AT, FKT that he's trying to do, the biggest factor is the discipline, because, you know, he could one day decide, like, all right, I'm going to do, like, 100 miles today instead of 50 or 60 or whatever, but then he could literally ruin the whole thing. He needs to just kind of, like, be super disciplined. He said, like, at a 100-mile Western States race, he could just, like, recklessly, like, blow through aid stations, like, without even stopping, because, like, it's a race. It's, like you said, it's a one-shot deal. But here, it's, like, really, like, a long-term thing. And he was in trouble earlier. Like, he, you know, there was a few days where he was averaging in the 30s, which is still a lot of miles. But for him, that would be, like, ruin his chances of breaking the record, because he had, like, a quad strain and, like, something else was bothering him, another injury. And I remember doing the math. I was, like, crunching numbers on Excel. I was like, oh, no. I'm like, if he doesn't rebound from this, he might not break the record. But he's obviously aware of that, and he has people, you know, helping him crunch the numbers. So he was telling me today he's back up to averaging 49 miles a day, 49.1 or whatever, and I think he needs, like, 46 point something or 47 a day to break the record. So if he continues, you know, and the irony with this kind of thing is, in some ways, someone like Scott might actually get stronger as they go, because the body will adapt, right? You might think, like, oh, the last third of the thing will be his slowest days, but we'll see. I mean, time will tell. It might be his fastest, you know.
Well, he's through.
That's what that.
Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. That's what we were saying about Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, is that he's getting stronger. You know, the 50 triathlons in 50 days and 50 states.
We'll come back to him in a second. We'll see if Yosef might join me for that. I was just gonna say. I mean, now that he's through Rocksylvania, that last third might be stronger, because the last 4 or 5 days have been some of the hardest parts of the trail. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people. You and I were just chatting online about Dave Roach that you know, and we've interviewed on this show. I asked Dave what he thought of Pennsylvania trail running, because it's not been as famous as, like, Western States or, you know, Badwater, that kind of thing. And he said point blank, man, if I grew up in Pennsylvania, I wouldn't be a trail runner. And I talked to some hikers yesterday who said the same thing. If I grew up in Pennsylvania, I would not be a hiker, because it is some of the toughest terrain, and where you ran with them was some of that. I thought he might make it to Delaware Water Gap last night. When we finally caught up with him, it was about 6:15 when he got to 6:30 or so when he got to Smith Gap. And then when he bedded down at Wind Gap, I know that lot because that's where I started looking for him the day before you were there. I thought if he might just decide, you know, today, if today's a long day, he'd have gone to the Delaware Water Gap. But that discipline of pacing is certainly part of it. And I know right the spot you're talking about, and I could picture you just driving in there and being like, oh, there he is. Whereas you and I kind of had the exact opposite experience of this. You drove in and within a second found him and were off and running with him. My friend Tim and I, we drove out. And hours of waiting yielded just a couple minutes of encounter. As I was not, I should have tried to run like a mile with him. I really should have, but I recently had knee surgery. I'm way, way out of shape, even for me. But I should have told Tim, take off with him for a while and then come back. But we just wanted to see him, and we brought trail magic for him and other people, and just kind of wanted to see what was all about. And I got to talk to Jenny actually for quite a while. So that was a good experience for us. But I know what you're saying, that experience of saying, you know, here's somebody I meet because they're famous and maybe get a picture. But then to be involved in that thing with them is a whole other level. So let me ask you, John mentioned it. Have you heard of the Iron Cowboy?
The Iron Cowboy. I'm sorry, I have not. What is that?
Okay, so the Iron Cowboy. Well, John, you describe it. I've been talking.
Well, the Iron Cowboy, he has a goal that's going on right now. I think he's in, what, day 18, 17? He's doing 50 Ironman distances, which is a 2.4-mile swim, 112 bike, and a full marathon every day for 50 days in 50 states. He started in Hawaii.
Wow. So
he started in Hawaii, and I think he's in Chattanooga tomorrow. So he's already gone through part of it, and he's winding through. So it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of weird that it's happening at the same time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, and so for
that's crazy. Wow.
He'll be in Germany.
Yeah, it's crazy. Exactly.
And here's the thing. So he's encouraging people to come run with him too. He's encouraging people to come swim with him or bike or run or do a portion of any or run along the whole way. Cause he's also pacing. He's a guy who's probably capable of laying down a sub 10 hour Ironman.
Oh yeah.
Because he's doing 50 in a row. He's been doing a moderate pace, taking most of the day. So anyway, he'll be in Jersey on July 4th. But if you're not far from Delaware Water Gap, then you know where Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania is. And I'm going to be going over to meet him in Stroudsburg on July 12th, which is a Sunday. And he has a website. It's ironcowboy.co, like com, but without the M. I'll message it to you.
Right.
So yeah, like he's raising money for a charity through the 5K. So if people sign up for the 5K to run with him at the end, there's like a fee that can go to charity, or you can just show up and run. Some people have run a whole, we interviewed a guy last week who ran the whole marathon with him, a guy we know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What state was that, John?
Right.
John, that what state was Scottio in?
Colorado.
Right? Oh, right. Where all the triathletes are.
Must have been.
Yeah,
right.
It was Colorado. So anyway, that's something where I figure by day 37, he'll be 37 days in at Pennsylvania. I can sprint hard for my 5K and keep up with his last place pace for his 5K at the end of day 37.
Right. He's an interesting dude too, Joseph. So if you want a good chat, I mean, he'll chat you up as well.
Oh, yeah, he's
yeah. I'm definitely gonna check him out. I mean, I'm not the only one, obviously, but I really like, you know. If I'm interested in something, I go and I scour the internet and I read up everything I could find on it. So I'm definitely going to familiarize myself with that. But I just wanted to address a quick funny thing with Scott today. You were talking about Rocksylvania. You know, he literally, like, he just can't wrap his mind around it. He kept addressing it, like constantly. He was like, he kept saying stuff like, did they just bring dump trucks and just pile rocks here everywhere? Like, how is this even possible? He's like, and then he'd say like think about it. He's like, you know, we're on the trail and like literally miles upon miles is just rocks. Like you don't even feel like there's dirt or anything. Like it's just rocks. And he's like, but the thing is like, believe it or not, like when they chose where to blaze the trail, this is actually somehow maybe the least rocky part, because you look all around you in every direction, there's rocks everywhere. It's not just the trail, you know, it's just like all rock. And it was just funny, you know, he like, couldn't get over it. Like he's like, oh good, more rocks. Like he's like, I'm ready to just like be done with these rocks.
Have you ever been to Hickory Run State Park up in Northeast Pennsylvania by the Pocono exit of the Turnpike?
I have not, actually. Okay. I'm familiar with the Stroudsburg area, but okay. Really just Mount Tammany. I've ran many times at Double Water Gaps, you know.
So right where Route 80 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike meet is the Pocono exit, and right there is a sign for Hickory Run State Park. If you go to Hickory Run State Park, you can drive right up to and park next to the Boulder Field. It is the largest boulder field in the East Coast. It is just a giant field of boulders. I kind of wish the trail went through there. It would just be like, that's the spot where you decide if you're quitting or not. Just like, really? Really? Because it's wide. It's a neat sight. I took my kids up there and took pictures of them just at the edge of it. I've never walked across it. I only learned about it recently, actually. But yeah, it's in the same, you know, part of the form, you know, geological formation as what you guys are running on, but a few miles north of you. Just a few, really, at Hickory Run. That's something I would have laughed to have seen him on that. Like, yeah, that should be the postcard for Rocksylvania.
Right. It is fascinating. Like there are runners that are becoming like well known that are like really like specialized in like technical, you know, running. Like there's this guy Ben Nephew. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's been winning like every year the Escarpment run in the Catskills, and it's like a brutal technical run. And I saw like some video of like, you know, he he's like in front at the start line, and he basically tries to just stay in front. And it's just, imagine just a human just without a, you know, without a handheld, without a anything, just literally just scrambling through the woods, like at full speed for like an entire 50 mile, you know, 50K course, like, you know, just like anyone else. It really comes down to, it's obviously fitness level also, but it's like a lot of it is mental, like, yeah. You know, like the fear of slipping and falling and that kind of stuff. So it is interesting, you know, because we were moving pretty slowly on all those rocks. Yeah. I mean, we were doing, like, those first 8 miles were like 20 minutes per mile, 22, 21, 19, like that, you know. And I was actually thinking about it later when we had a lot of uphill, but it was like runnable terrain. Scott didn't stop to walk for a second. He was just running, because he probably was like eager to finally have like runnable terrain, you know.
Well, on those spots, what would you say the pace was?
The running, like, yeah. The you're saying the miles that we were running, what pace was it?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, because on my Garmin, I only had average pace. Like, I wasn't interested in, like, playing with it. I didn't have it on my screen, like, current pace. If I had to guess, I'd say it was, like, it would be anywhere from, like, 9 to 12, something like that, you know, okay. Like, anywhere in there. So, like meaning sometimes it was very slow jogging to the extent that, like, you know, you really just sort of look like you're jogging, like you're hopping up and down. But if you slow down and sped walk, you're going almost the same speed. So that felt like the 12-minute mile. But then sometimes when it was flat or a little downhill and it was runnable terrain, we were probably doing like 9-minute mile pace. But he, you know, he has his trekking poles with him, and he told us, especially these like high school kids or cross country guys, he's like, by all means, if you guys want to fly on a downhill, go ahead. I need to save my legs. You know, I saw on some Facebook posts, you know, over the past few weeks, he would really write, like, there were days where he had more uphill, more ascent than descent, and he would actually like the, you know, the uphills more, you know, because the downhill is really, that's something I learned quickly in the first ultra, that no one trains for the downhills, and it's a mistake, because yeah. They actually are what make you have like a really slow recovery after your ultra. Like I did like a 50K in Virgil Crest, you know, in upstate New York. That was my first ultra run. And I thought, like, okay, it's 50K. I'm going to walk parts of it. It's going to be fine. And it was fine. But then it took me like forever to feel 100%. I'd say even like 10 days later, because of all those downhills, you know, it was like up and down ski slopes. I was, you know, still feeling something off in my legs like 10 days after that, you know, and it was only 50K. It was 100-mile people on the same course. So you know.
I'm sure you know Killian Jornet. If you're following that's a guy
that you can find some pretty cool videos. I actually said that to the high school kids. I was like, you guys have heard of Killian? I wonder how quickly Killian could go through this Pennsylvania rocks, you know?
He's a goat. If you check his DNA, I don't think he juices. I just think he's part goat. And
possible.
I need to go look it up. I mean, he's talking about running up Everest, you know?
Really?
I mean, yeah. You mean, talk about, okay, talk about the limits of human endurance. Yeah, he's going to fast pack Everest. So we'll see. If anybody's going to do it, it's that dude, you know?
Right. I don't doubt his endurance. I just think there's probably some, aren't there issues with Everest with like, you're like, I don't know, like you need to like, there's like health things with the altitude and stuff, you know? But I don't know. I guess he's pretty
altitude sickness is real, but I mean, the kid, he was a kid in the Pyrenees. So I don't think anybody's told him it can't be done. I don't know. Right on. So, well, hey, man, I'm so glad we found you this evening. We're going to let you go because you got to get to bed, man. You got to, you know, you've had a day. I'll message you on Facebook here. Do you have a picture? Did you get a picture with him today at least?
Yeah, I have a few pictures. Yeah, right where on. I posted. Cool. Yeah, I had a few pictures.
We're going to steal one for our show notes. We're going to steal a picture of you for our show notes.
Oh,
and we'll send you a link.
100%.
So you can share that link. And I'm going to have to follow you on Facebook, man. You're somebody I need to know, because all that weight loss and getting moving and getting into trail running, you're exactly the kind of folks we like to talk to on this show.
Cool, definitely. Anytime. I'm glad you know that we were connected today also, and I really enjoyed talking with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, folks, for Gonzo Podcasting, our third time around from the trail and from a fresh report from just today, we'd like to thank our guest and all those people who contributed to the Scott Jurek stalking. This is the Back of Pack Endurance Podcast, signing off with
Swim Calm,
Bike Strong,
Run Steady, Watch Your Step.